Brethren, the title today I'm going to start off by giving that to you right off the top. God's truth lives. God's truth lives. Now, you'll know why I chose that title as we get into this presentation. But I want to start by posing a question for you. I like to do that. Mr. Armstrong touched on it, actually, and he could have taken most of my notes, but he didn't, fortunately. But the question is, why is the world going crazy and showing signs of complete insanity? Complete and absolute insanity. We have a society and a country of outright lawlessness all around us. We see it every day, where everyone is now demanding their rights. Young children want their rights. Old people want their rights. Everybody wants what they want. And society, as a result of it, is coming apart at the seams. Now, how do we get to this point? We're going to get to that answer later. But to begin with, really, it begins way back in Darwinism, okay, and the teaching of evolution, and ignoring a creation by God. In fact, it started back in the schools in the early 20s, when teachers were told to teach evolution, not a special creation. And they said, that's old thinking. They said, that's old thinking, evolution. Evolution's the new thinking. So anyway, there we are. Then, you see, brethren, academic thinking graduated. Academic thinking graduated into saying, you can no longer pray in school. Now they say you can't even have a Bible in school. Did you know that? In this country, we can't. You can teach them Muslimism. You can teach them Buddha, about Buddha. You can teach them Hinduism. But don't you ever mention the name of Jesus Christ, because you might offend someone. That's what they say. I recently purchased a book entitled The Death of Truth. And the author belongs to a Christian fellowship organization in the United States. I didn't realize that until I got into it, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point. He points out in the book there are so many evils in embracing our society, but during his presentation, it's a rather heavy read, he never used one scripture. Not one. I'm going to use plenty as we move along. He merely made periodic references to God, but he never explained how to combat all of society's evil influences. But mind you, he did a terrific job in dealing with all the evils and all the problems that we have to deal with today. And he took a different approach on it, I thought was very intriguing, very interesting. A lot I learned from it. It's a very academic study that responds to what he calls multiculturalism, which we know about in this country, and society's rejection of reason. Society's rejection of reason. And it points a very critical finger at the dangers in what is called today the new postmodern diversity in our society. And I'll explain that as we move along. There was a time many years ago when they used to call it enlightenment to your mind as our society changed. Remember that? In the schools, oh, we're enlightened today. We think differently. The old ideas are gone. Bring on the new ones. Creation, forget it. That's old thinking. It's evolution. That was so-called enlightenment to your mind. Then it was called modernism. Maybe you've heard these terms. Modernism is the quality and nature of our thoughts and expressions which take on modern tendencies. Modern tendencies and values. Now, that doesn't mean that they're right, does it? But that's what they embellish. And then now we have what's called postmodernism. Like I said, you might not have heard the term, but you will recognize how it affects society, how it affects your family, how it affects you, and how it affects the church. Postmodernism is the key word that captures the mindset of our day. And it will be made very clear just what that mindset is as we proceed. And brother, it affects everything. Education, especially its effect on our children. It affects health care. It affects science. It affects law and history and religion, especially religion. And it touches every area of life. And today, we have an unrelenting stream of political correctness. It's all around us. I'm getting sick of hearing the word. And we have out-of-control permissiveness. You see that everywhere you are, in your little town and village, wherever it might be. And on top of that, we now have extremes in granting tolerance. That's something that's really come to the fore here in this country, where anything goes. It doesn't matter. Anything goes. And we have fabricated history, and we have unrelenting deception and the denigration of knowledge. The denigration of knowledge. And these are all symptoms of postmodernism. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? No, it does not sound wonderful at all. It is pervasive, and it's dangerous, and it is destroying our society. And it's happening so very subtly in so many different areas that people don't even see it. We will talk about what has happened to truth in our world. We will also read what real truth is and see that it is not dead. It is far from dead. The truth of God lives on, as we know. Mr. Armstrong touched on that. Real truth is the Word of God, His laws, and His commandments. That's truth. But the question, you know, you really get down to, how did we get to this point where society has literally ignored the Constitution? I know it has in the United States, and also the rules and regulations up here, and freedom of speech, that's been ignored. And it neglects real truth and rightness. There's no such thing as real truth and rightness. When was the last time you heard the word rightness or righteous acts or doing things properly? Where are we going as a society? Down. That's where we're going. Downhill. As fast as the wheels of this wretched world will take us. I hope to show you that what is taking place as we get into this message is quite startling in some respects with what has been preached and teached and what's being taught and what's happening. Let's turn to Matthew 24 to begin with here. Just a couple of scriptures to get started as we move into this presentation. Matthew 24 and verse 4, and Christ answered, and he said to the disciples, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows." Verse 9. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." You can see, going back to verse 4, it's very progressive. This deception started back at the Garden of Eden, and all the way through history, and all the things that have taken place and down to today with the wars and the rumors of war. We're living in the midst of wars, right in the middle of it. We're living in the midst of famines. We're living in the midst of pestilence and earthquakes and all the things that are happening. Look at California. Wildfires destroying all the vegetation, and they hadn't had rain for years. Then they get torrential rains, and it starts mudslides and tears away the homes and the foundations and causes havoc and kills all kinds of people and destroys property now up into the billions of dollars. And in verse 9 it says, "They shall deliver you up to be afflicted." After all these things that go through here, all the beginnings of sorrows, then they're going to deliver you up. And brethren, it hasn't happened yet. But I'll tell you right now, things are being set in place so that it can happen. Because it's going to happen. And in fact, it has already happened here in Canada to a degree. you might find that hard to believe. As we speak, where you could receive, I could receive, a six-month jail sentence for preaching the Bible full bore. Full bore. They call it spreading hate. That is now a law of the land, brethren, in Canada. Just like the law of the land is legalizing marijuana this July. Marvelous. Speaking the Bible straight up, it's labeled a hate crime. That's amazing. That would never have happened years ago. What they're saying is it's a crime to speak the truth. That's how far the feminist and homosexual agendas have gone. People today, as you know, brethren, are being led into sin because they don't have a standard to know right from wrong or even to know what sin is. There's no one there to tell them. There's no one booming from the broadcast anymore like Mr. Armstrong does and as he did. Verse 10, and then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Hate and betrayal. What's going to happen, brethren, when the crime is having the word of God in your home? Or the crime is reading the scriptures? Or the crime is keeping the Sabbath? I'll tell you, we will not be very well thought of as time goes on here. And someone's going to turn us in someday to the authorities for what they know about us. I believe that will occur someday. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be very easy to find me. I'm not going to hide. I can have that finger pointed at me by a lot of people over many years. That's fine. Go for it. That's what we're coming to very quickly. We're already at the door with that most recent legislation that makes speaking the Bible full bore a crime. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? The perverted people of the cities wanted to get at the two angels God had sent, so Lot offered his two daughters, but fortunately the angels stepped in and they blinded the people and got them out of there. The point is, how bad is it going to get in the end time where we live? How bad is it going to get in the little town where you live? How did people get to the point of thinking that good is evil and evil is good? They have moved way beyond that, as we will see. Now, how did we get this way? And the answer really is very simple. Mr. Armstrong touched on it. The simple answer is because the laws of God were cast away just like it is today. They were cast away many years ago, and we have progressively moved along to push them even further. And I thought that this book, The Death of Truth, would be very interesting for us to take a look at. And here is something, brethren, that the writer said. There's many things I'll deal with. I will recite to you. He says, what happened to truth? He said, today, people tell lies when the truth would be so much easier to say. They just can't help themselves. They are so used to lying. Isn't that true? Well, he answers the question this way. What happened to truth? Here's how he answers the question. He says, America and the West is in the midst of a revolution in thinking. In the midst of a revolution in thinking that impacts every area of life. When you break it down like that, I think we'll all agree. It is affecting every area. Incredibly so. Let's notice over in Jeremiah chapter 9 for a moment. One scripture that jumps out at me. I want to come back to Jeremiah 9 later because it is such a significant chapter. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 5, and he says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. What world are they talking about in that scripture? It's today. It's today. Today's thinking is called postmodernism. And you'll recognize some of the signs and characteristics as we continue. But very interesting point he makes here. Before postmodernism, it was just called modernism. But today they've taken it one step further. And listen to this. They call postmodernism the guiding spirit of our times. Interesting wording. The guiding spirit. What guiding spirit are they following? Where does that come from? Who is guiding and who's deceiving the whole world? Satan. That's where it comes from. Because you know, Satan has his ministers, Satan has his teachers, Satan has his government leaders, Satan has all the bankers, Satan has all the academics. He said it's not a guiding spirit, it is the guiding spirit of our day. Well, we know that the Spirit of God is a guiding spirit that leads us into real truth. That's the real guiding spirit. They use that phrase, the guiding spirit of our day. All goes back to Satan. That's where it comes from. That's where the deception begins. And they put a new coat on it and make it sound good, and make it sound easier to deal with. Before his death, Christ said to God in John 17, don't turn there in verse 17, you know it. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The spirit of Satan is driving postmodernism forward to our destruction. Listen carefully to what he says here. An interesting comment, and it hits so hard at what we're dealing with. He says, postmodernism at its heart has a distrust of grand theories and ideologies and theologies, and teaches that things like reason, things like rationality, are merely a cultural bias. That's your culture, not mine. That's what you think. That's not me. But he says they're coming to the point where it's going to be all reason and rationality are merely cultural biases. That's what you think. That's fine. That's up to you. And they say that truth does not exist. Truth does not exist. Those are pretty heavy statements, especially God's truth, they say, does not exist. And here's how they reason around it. Well, there's a number of things I'm going to mention. The writer goes on, he says, a society that forsakes truth believes that all lifestyles, all religions, and all world views are equally valid. They're equally valid. All lifestyles, all religions, worldviews, it's all the same, no problem. Children are being taught that in school today. Our little granddaughter was talking to my wife recently, and there was a couple down the road. It's two women that have a child, two lesbians. And I forget how it came up, and I didn't mention something about where's the father. Well, there's no fathers. There's the two, the mom and the dad. It's a man. It's two women. and she was saying there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. In other words, at these young ages, at 10, 11, 12, they're being taught this. It's fine. It's perfectly. It's valid. How do you change that? The only way they say. Is if you criticize someone else's views or moral choices. You can't criticize or judge or offend. Does that sound familiar, brethren? Can't criticize, you can't judge, because you might offend. Our children are being indoctrinated by this stuff, and in the colleges and university, absolutely they are. They have been. Listen to this, it only gets worse. He says, postmodernism says that opinions matter as much as evidence, and that reality is in the mind of the beholder. It's not what you see. Reality is created in your mind by what you think. Wow, that's all I can say, and I read that. Postmodernism says opinions matter as much as evidence, and that reality is in the mind of the beholder, and it's not what you see. Reality is created in your mind by what you think. That is unbelievable. But you can see that in a lot of different court cases. We've got the smoking gun. Well, that's not what happened. That's not what really took place. I've got the smoking gun video. Doesn't matter. That has creeped into education and everywhere else. It's quite shocking, really, the depth of what's taken place here, if you really stop and analyze it. Spirituality, in the postmodern idea of religion, puts the individual at the center. Puts the individual at the center. So it's not stopping religion, but it's changing the emphasis. It's changing the influence. They're not stopping religion. No, carry on. But they just change the terms of reference. But whereas they may put the individual at the center, whereas for us, who is at the center of our Christianity? Jesus Christ and God the Father. This stuff sounds to me like Genesis 3. If you eat of this tree, you'll become gods. You can now decide right and wrong. Not to worry. You don't have to listen to God. You can get all the knowledge you need. Interesting to consider the reality of our day, that the more knowledge people have, the more they sin. The more evil they become. Because knowledge cannot save, but it can create confusion. It can create confusion. Authentic worship today ends up being self-worship and self-empowerment. You know, like I believe, I think, I experience, I know. You can't tell me. That's just in your mind. And on it goes. Such is the devious deception of Satan upon this world. And that kind of thinking becomes an idol in your mind. Yeah, I know. After all, I've got better ideas than anybody else. Organized religion with its statements of belief are out of style. Did you know that? They're completely out of style. Individual spirituality is now in. That's a shocking statement, but we know it's true. We see it. And that kind of stuff is dangerous. And it's poisoning the minds of the unsuspecting. Another thing here, he says, this is very interesting. If you have objectivity in your religion, you're committing a sin against the religions of the world. Because there's no such thing as objective truth. Or so they say. If you're objective about something that you're not easily influenced by, you know, with feelings or opinions, when considering all the facts, if you're objective, that's how you look at things. If there's no objective truth, that means nothing is factual, nothing is real, nothing is verifiable. God's word is the truth. God's word is verifiable. God is God. God is true. He has preserved his word down through history. And brethren, if you hold absolute truths, which you do, which I do, I hold them absolutely. John chapter 15, then that means that you're an enemy. Did you know that? That means you're an enemy. You are an enemy of the state. You are an enemy of the people. You are an enemy of Satan's, of course, as we know that. You're the enemy. I guess you never thought of yourself as being the enemy before. In today's world, that's how it's looking. That's how it's becoming. I just told you about Canada. You know, you speak the truth full bore. If I stood on a street corner, passed out a pamphlet, or started talking about all the ills around certain things in our city, they'd have me arrested. Preaching hate. Put them in prison. That's where we are. That's where it's come from. John chapter 15. There's an absolute truth right here I want to show you. John 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, Christ says, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Truth. Postmodernism would say That's what you think in your mind. That's what you think, that you were chosen. So now it is a reality to you. See how they twist it? Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world does not like us, brethren. Don't think it does. Don't think we can kind of get along. Ultimately, we can't. And we're going to stand out more and more as time goes on. I can feel that coming. Postmodernism's ever-increasing influence on and in society tells us clearly we are hated or will become hated because we have objective truth. We have objective truth. And that hatred could easily turn on us. It mentioned that in Matthew 24. We just looked at it. We will be easy targets. We'll be easy targets. That's fine. I'm not worrying about it. Like I said, I'm not going to hide. We've got God and Jesus Christ to hang on to. I've got my faith and my conviction and my hope and the future. That's what we're moving forward on. That's what we're preparing ourselves. That's why we're involved in a work that believes that completely and absolutely. And we need to hang on to it more and more and stronger than ever. Most postmodernists, those around us of today's leadership, all of today's leadership, all of today's education, and of the world itself, are not necessarily against religion. Now, you might find that interesting. What? Aren't they all against religion? No, they're not. No. They're only against religious teachings that hold an objective truth. You'll hear them say, no one has all the truth. How do you know that? How can you be sure? Well, we know that God has all truth. Brethren, postmodernism in all of its various forms and all of its various disguises, that we might not recognize the term, that we now can now start to understand what's behind it and what they're doing and how they're doing it and why they're doing it. It's affecting every area of society and it's ripping away at the foundation. And we talk about standing on the foundation of truth, on the foundation that was given to us by Jesus Christ through Mr. Armstrong. And we stand on that solidly. We don't give it up and we don't move away from it. We hang on. And as long as we hang on, we're going to be fine, brethren. It's when we stray away. It's when we move off in different directions and take on another idea. Oh, maybe this is right. Maybe Mr. Armstrong was wrong. After all, he was old, as people say. You got to stay tied to the tree. Stay tied to the trunk. And never drift away from it. Tell someone that the seventh day Sabbath is Saturday. And that is the day of worship. And they'll say, that's your opinion, buddy. Right? You ever had that happen? No, they'll say, no, that's your opinion. You'll say, no, that's what the Bible teaches. Oh, that'll convince them. It's what the Bible teaches. They'll say, that is only your interpretation. How do you fight that? You can't. What we have is this. Your opinion is true, and other opinions are also true, and they are all equally valid. You've heard that before. That's what they say today. That's what people are being taught. We want all opinions. We want to know, we want to hear all stories, and they'll all be validated. No one's going to put them down. No one's going to kick them out the door. No one's going to say that it's wrong. If that's the case, I'd like to ask this. What is the use of truth if the opposite position is also true? Answer me that, Mr. Postmodernism. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7 for a minute. The things that go on behind the scenes in our society, the depth of the deception that Satan has perpetrated on all of us and all of the people that out there in the various positions of authority and schooling and education, everything else, the depth of it and how he's twisted it. He's dressed it up. He's put a new coat on it, a little bit of makeup, changed the hairstyle, whatever way you want to look at it. And people say, yeah, that's right. This sounds good. This feels good. I understand this now. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man or a woman. Isn't that what's taking place in our society? Don't those scriptures live now more than they ever did, brethren? They sure do at me. They jump out at me. Because you see it every day. You have to fight against it. Let's couple that in Mark 7 with the instigator of lies and see what happens as a result of it all. Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, as a result of all that stuff, all that horrible stuff going on, what's happening? What's the effect? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, stirring up strife and discord. Yeah, there's the spirit, all right. Spirit that's guiding it. Spirit of disobedience. The spirit of Satan. The prince of the power of the air. Stirring up discord. And that's what we have right now everywhere. Everywhere you look. In business, education. No one can seem to fall into line under anything that's reasonable anymore. It's like the man said in the book, it's the rejection of reason. There's no reason. It's what we think. It's what you want to do, whatever feels good to you. When we come to a situation in life, in our society, in our greater world, where everything is equally true, then brethren, we reached the end of the road. We've reached condition red for our society. We've gone too far. Oh, we've gone too far. Anything goes. Everything is accepted. I see that every day, don't you? You see it in the news. You can't find good news. I see it at work. I hear it from people. The disillusionment. People searching for something, but they don't know what they're searching for. They don't know where to find it. Here's something very interesting, brethren. One of the churches of God, right here in Canada, has fallen victim to some postmodernism thinking. You find that shocking? In a recent meeting, it was mentioned that they are not going to correct certain thinking and actions because, they said, it is judging and it's condemning, and we should not do that and offend anyone. I don't find it shocking. I told you earlier on, it does affect the church. It spills over into the church. It has to. That's how it works. I won't go into details as to what happened here, but what I just said is true. I heard it firsthand from some people involved in it, so I know. I would not even mention it. That was not the case. If you offend or you correct, it might drive people away. After all, aren't their opinions equally valid? That is really what the church leadership's actions are saying, by taking no action. That is so unfortunate. And once it slips in like that, and that slips in, other things slip in, then bigger things slip in, and before long, they're at a complete loss to know what they're doing and why they're doing it. That's what happens. That's Satan's way. He nibbles away. That's why we can never, ever let down. We can never, ever step off the foundation we were given. I'm so glad that Mr. Bowles hammered away at that and taught us that years ago. And it is so true. And that's what ties us here. And that's what means something. That's what has purpose. Our lives have value, brethren. They do. But they have value and purpose for God and Jesus Christ as we stay close to them. If we drift away, that's our problem. we're going to suffer as a result of that. But, you know, they talk about all opinions are equally valid. No, they're not. All opinions are not equally valid because inappropriate behavior is still inappropriate behavior. Disrespect is still disrespect. And we believe in objective truth, don't we? Therefore, we are an enemy of this world, a big-time enemy. Don't ever think you're not. I wonder if we understand the magnitude of the perverseness and deception we're dealing with today and what our children are facing and how perverse the thinking has become. Deadly stuff out there for our young people. The young fellow I used to work with, years ago, and he's in college right now, and I had coffee with him a couple of weeks ago. We get together every now and again. He's so interested in knowing what I know, you know, and when I say things, he likes to know where this come from, what's that, and so forth. And he told me, in the college where he is at right now, all the things I just went through and mentioned is exactly what he sees and is faced every day. He said, it's very difficult. He said, I'm thinking actually on giving up. I said, you can't give up. He said, well, what's the point? All I got to deal with and have to fight against and this, the staff and the this and the that. And I said, don't give in. You know who you are. Stand on your own 2 feet and ask God to give you the strength. I said, you've got value and you've got a future. So he said, yeah, I guess I should. But sometimes you have to mention that those things to people and try to prop it up a little bit. This is the man in the world, a terrific young guy, though. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says, the devil and Satan is deceiving the whole world. And brethren, he has a lot of help in deceiving the whole world. Think about this. He has all the media. He's all education. He has all religion. And he influences the ideas of men everywhere. You have to forgive me. I got a bit of a cough that's been dragging on with this flu. And my wife still got it. Brethren, we have God. We have the truth of God. We have the Spirit of God. Do you realize how fortunate you are? How fortunate I am? The world's thinking is being manipulated and influenced by Satan more than many realize. And it spills over into the church. Satan is very clever, and he's the ultimate deceiver. And as I mentioned, it's already happened to the churches of God. Undoubtedly, in many areas, in different ways, it's also affected people. Let's look again from the book, The Death of Truth. And one of the things the reader said is, we need to understand how the world thinks. He says, we don't want to make the mistake of lowering standards as many churches have. Remember I mentioned he's a minister. We don't want to lower standards as many churches have. He says the gospel may preach for forgiveness, but people have to be convicted that they are sinners. And that is a difficult proposition in today's world. He goes on. A recent series of interviews conducted at random in a large university asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. All but one responded, and they answered along these lines. Here is what they said. Truth is whatever you believe. If it's true to you, it's true. That's the way they think. There is no absolute truth. That in itself is a contradiction, because you're absolutely saying that there is no absolute truth. No, but it's up to you. If it's true to you, it's true. Cool, great. One student said, if there was such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know if it is true? Interesting perspective. Everything gets twisted. That's the problem. And who's the master deceiver? That's why God sent and preserved his word in the Bible. Christ said, your word is truth. The lone exception in the survey said, people who believe in absolute truth are dangerous. Interesting. That means you are dangerous, brethren. I'm dangerous. Postmodernism says truth is only relative. So therefore, we can change it. truth is what you believe. That's how messed up the thinking is. All of that kind of stuff is perverse, and it's found its way through society. And you can see it coming out in everything that we touch today. Truth is the word of God. God is true. God is truth. They say truth is relative. That means then that God is relative. God is whatever you think. So therefore, God's opinion makes no difference. The Bible is whatever you interpret it to be, so it's not relevant. You talk about confusion and baffle gap that appeals and makes sense to so many. Yeah, I thought that the religion seemed kind of strange, and it's my ideas, and they're not telling me what to do. Satan's deception permeates everything in our world. You know, we must be alert and trusting in the Word of God if we're going to stand in the days to come, because it's all against us. Who said it was going to be easy? Look what we're fighting against. And it's all come down to the point where legislation can now be enacted and could put me in prison for 6 months for speaking the Bible straight. That's where we come to. When many of us heard the truth, what did we also hear? Remember? He said, don't believe me, believe the Bible. Remember Mr. Armstrong saying that over and over? And we hear it now on the World Tomorrow program. The Death of Truth book has another interesting point, which I want to touch on. The writer went on to say that when truth dies, power fills the vacuum. I thought, that's an interesting way to put it. What's that really mean here? He says, to understand this, look at Catholicism. Why is there such an authoritarian structure in the Roman Catholic Church? Simple answer is that it is devoid of truth. It's held together with power and authority and myths and fables and fear. Isn't that true? Something always comes along to fill the vacuum. Once truth goes out the window, Satan makes sure he fills it up with his lies. The truth has died, and all sorts of evil take over. Psalm 101. Truth is not dead as far as we're concerned, but in our society, it's rapidly becoming gone. Finished, dead, over. Psalm 101, verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And brethren, God allows the world to get worse and worse, doesn't he? He allows the world to get worse and worse and worse, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But judgment is still coming. That's what people forget about. It's like years ago, people would say, well, when's Christ going to return? We were told it might be this, might be that. That hasn't happened yet. Never going to happen. I was told that if we tithe, we're going to get blessings. We're going to get this and we're going to get that. And I'm still looking for my blessings. Got the wrong attitude. That's the wrong way to look at it. Jeremiah chapter 9, I wanted to come back here, is a good cross-section of society. Excellent cross-section, actually. Let's have a look at some verses here, beginning with verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, says the Lord. Don't you ever feel that way sometimes about this society? I want to get away from it. Leave it behind. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to think about it anymore. There's evil everywhere. Yeah, we do. Yeah, sure we do, because we're human. It's all around us. We've got to fight. We've got to stay here and hang on. We've got to stay here and grow and become what God wants us to become and be prepared for what's to come down the road and become teachers and leaders and rulers. Verse 4, take ye heed every one of his neighbors, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, as we read this, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. Interesting verses. You can go through and read the whole chapter. I won't take the time to do it. People are not taught, brethren, to govern themselves by the Ten Commandments. They're not taught. See how much work will be necessary in the resurrection to teach the truth and to help people to unlearn so much error? This society is replete with deception. They have to be unlearned. Have to unlearn. Mr. Armstrong said, more difficult to unlearn something than it is to learn something new. A monumentous job lies ahead. Incredible job lies ahead. I wonder if we really realize that sometimes. When we look at what's going on in this society, I think we have a better idea of just how much deception's there. And this is going to be a tough job. We're going to have a great time doing it, serving our God, teaching and helping, bringing people toward God. There'll be lots of opposition in the hearts and minds of people before they really understand it. Psalm 43 and verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God. My exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Yes, oh, send out your light and your truth. And God has sent out his light and his truth to us through his calling. We understand that completely. We believe it. There's never any doubt in my mind that I was called. I can relate back to the very occasions where it occurred. No one can take that away from me. God made mankind, brethren, to need his truth, the absolute truth of God. And here's an absolute truth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass. The truth of God is constant and forever. Psalm 100. That's the beauty of these scriptures. They just bring it home, make it so plain. And we're going to have to use these scriptures with our knowledge and our experience to help people to understand there is a God. There's a God of truth, a God of righteousness, a God of creation, a God of hope, a God of confidence, our healer, our sustainer. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Christ said it would not pass away, and it hasn't passed away. It's being carried on down by the churches that are adhering to it. We're not going to let that go. We're not going to step off that foundation. We're not going to throw it to one side and say it doesn't matter. There's new thinking now. No, there's not. There's lots of old thinking. Dress up as new. Psalm 117. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's two verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Look at how much truth has been granted and mercy and kindness toward us, toward you and me. Amazingly so. What a God we serve, brethren. Yeah, that's an absolute truth for you. Remember, Pilate said to Christ, what is truth? Remember that? Let's turn to Psalm 119 and look at a couple of scriptures here. Psalm 119. And let's see, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. His law is the truth. There you are, Mr. Pilate. You want to know there's no truth? What's truth? There's the answer. The truth of God has been twisted, neglected, and considered relative, and just someone's opinion. It's not, no longer valid. So they say. Doesn't matter anymore. So they say. We'll decide for ourselves. So they say. Verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. All of them are truth. Every one. You can't say this one doesn't matter today. That one doesn't matter today. I'm okay if I walk around this one. No, it's not true. It's not right. It's not just my opinion either. It's not just what I think or my interpretation. Matthew chapter 24. Let's go back there again. Matthew 24 and verse 10. We read this. Let's read it again. It becomes so much more poignant when you start to look at some of these things. In verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. We're living in the midst of that right now. It will be very easy for people who don't understand to turn us in, to betray us. Maybe we offend them by something we said, by some minor thing that happened. Things like that have brought people down before. It's brought governments down before. And that's what's happening in our world right now. Many are being led into sin. They're being led into sin. They're being pushed down the road into sin because truth has been destroyed. As the title of the man's book says, the death of truth. Real truth has been destroyed in our greater society. That's what's been perpetrated upon the world. It has not happened to you and to me and to the churches of God that understand that. We will not let the truth die because the truth can never die. It lives on forever. We want to abide by it. We want to hang on to it. We want to be a part of it. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that is where, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's why Satan is working so hard to destroy the church, to destroy you, brethren. He wants you destroyed. He wants you out of the church. That should make us more determined than ever to hang on very tight to the truth we were blessed to be given. And who brought it to us? What we have is priceless beyond measure. It really is. To everyone else, truth has died. Or it's a process of fading out of sight. If there is a place of safety, as some, or not a place of safety, as some believe, then we cannot stand against the beast power that's coming to fill the gap when the truth of God is virtually gone or only with a very few. God will protect those who are His. That's why we do trust and believe in the place of safety. We don't know how it's all going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to be. Doesn't matter. God said, I'll do it. God will protect those who are His. The truth of God is forever. We've got to hang on to that tight. It doesn't go. It's there. It's here forever. John chapter 2. Second John. We'll be teaching that in the millennium. Verse 7. Here we go. I'll be okay. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's us, brethren. We have both. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That would be a dangerous person to be around. Our society preaches that. I don't want any part of it. I'll have no part of it. But that, you know, that's how they deceive today. They add their own doctrines and ideas that we've just been learning going through this presentation. this postmodernism nonsense, bringing in their own doctrines. Yeah, wonderful, and teachings. We have the teachings of Christ solidly in place. And Christ said, if we obey the truth will set us free. And that is the only way you are free from sin. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's look back at Psalms again. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. I love those verses. That's talking about us, brother, as long as we stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. The truth has not died, we know that. They'll tell you outside that it has died. It's fading. It doesn't matter anymore. It's not meaningful. You decide for yourself. Where did all this confusion come from? You know, you can go right back into ancient Greece and Babylon. The so-called new modern thinking is virtually the same kind of thinking they had back then. They just put a new label on it. You know, it sounds good. Here's a new way to look at things. And that leads to confusion, just like today. You can't step away from the foundational truths that God gave us through Mr. Armstrong. When you do that, you will fail. You will be destroyed. You'll be pushed around. You'll forget. You'll neglect. Things are going to become so diluted. I think it's going to be very difficult for people to accept the truth when they are presented with it. Because it's become so diluted. You'll be teaching the truth, brethren, the truth of God in the millennium, bringing them to the real God, showing them that there is a God, there is a Savior, there is a plan, there's a purpose for what mankind's been through. There's a purpose for you being here yourself, whoever we're talking to. That's a big job. That's a huge job, brethren. We'll have the power with the Holy Spirit and being a spirit being. We'll have the power to do it. Couldn't do it now. I couldn't convince anybody of anything. I don't want to. It's a waste of time. According to postmodernism, your thinking, your emotions, and encouragement are no longer based upon the facts. No longer based upon the truth. It is replaced with how you feel. Do you feel good about it? If it feels right, then it is right. And it's truth to you. What nonsense. But it's easy for people to buy something like that because you don't have to struggle. I don't have to, you know, bring myself in line. There's pleasure in sin, as it mentions in the scripture, for a reason. So if you feel good about it, it must be good. So they reason. Incredible, isn't it? They talk about not upsetting anyone's self-esteem today, especially in education. Yeah, don't upset anybody's self-esteem. They believe any time a child's emotions are challenged. This is happening right now, I know, in the schools. I've got friends who are teachers. Anytime children's emotions are challenged, even if we see hate or selfishness, the child is being disabled by the teacher's reality which is imposed upon the child. Isn't that incredible? Twist and turn, blame it on the teacher, don't teach individual responsibility. I have a friend who was a teacher in the school system here in Ontario. And he gave it up after a while. He's a minister in another church. He gave it up. He said, you know, I can't fight anymore because they won't let you teach. They won't let me correct. They won't let me teach responsibility and give people the right values. Can't do it. He just basically, they told him, if you're not happy, you know what you can do, and he retired. Incredible. Teachers are supposed to validate any and all emotions that children exhibit. Now, no wonder we have such chaos in schools and universities. They are not taught foundational principles. Because postmodernism is wanting to create a new social order without mentioning the Creator God, let alone believing and obeying Him. And that's how it's being set up. You preach God, I can get thrown in jail. Get that John Pippi guy, he said the wrong thing, let's throw him in the can for a couple of months. They can do that now. Another interesting situation I came across, an article written by Stephen Hawking. You all know who he is. He was really recently quoted about his thoughts on artificial intelligence. I don't know if you saw the article. It was published in 3rd of November this year. I'm going to read it to you in a minute, but I want to look at something else first. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, before I read the article. I'm going to make you wait. Genesis chapter 11. Let's have a look here. And see if there's not an interesting parallel to be considered. And finally there, Genesis chapter 11, in verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go, let us make brick. Let's burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for the mortar. And they said, let us go and build a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. The Lord came down to see what was happening, what they were doing. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one. They have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So let us go down. Let's confuse the language. And so in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them all. Nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing. So God confused the languages. Think about today. Science speaks the same language worldwide. The science of computers and advanced technology are available to everyone. I want to read you this article. Maybe think of, just a brief bit of it, maybe think of Genesis 11. Stephen Hawking says, artificial intelligence may replace humans and become a new life form. One day robots could entirely edge out human beings and become a new life form that is even capable of replicating itself. Stephen Hawking has warned, once again predicting a rather grim future. I fear that artificial intelligence may replace humans altogether. If people design computer viruses, someone will design artificial intelligence that improves and replicates itself. This could be a new life form that outperforms humans. He goes on and mentions a few more things, which I won't read, but that gives you an idea. But one other thing I want to quickly mention, which you might be familiar with, maybe you haven't heard. Have you everybody heard of Sophie, the robot? Sophie, the world's first robot citizen, wants her own family, career, and artificial intelligence superpowers. So this is a true story, by the way. Sophie, the first robot to be awarded citizenship in the world, has said she not only wants to start a family, but she wants her own career. In an interview, Sophie shared her thoughts on the future that awaits human and robot kind. And she was developed in a laboratory in Hong Kong. And let's see, I'll read one more little bit, then I'll let it go. It just shows you what's happening, what kind of a world we're living in. For context, Sophie is not pre-programmed with answers, but instead uses machine learning algorithms and an extensive vocabulary to form her answers. Her brain functions using a Wi-Fi connection, and it can read human facial expressions as well as the canvas of human speech, in order to interact in a more humanoid manner. And the the person who put this together said that someday we will, we're not too far away from having them actually develop their own intelligence and so on and so on. Wow. All I can say is, welcome to postmodernism, a world where everything goes, anything goes, and God's out of the picture. So they think. God is in complete control, brethren, and he will only let things go as far as he wants it to go. Now, could you imagine if Mr. Armstrong was alive? They would not let him on the air, like that program we heard today. But I could see a lot of Wall Street Journal articles making the headlines in some newspapers. You could try and reason with people by saying, obey the laws of God. That will solve the world's problems. Postmodernism does not believe in God. That's strike one. If there is a God, his laws are only relative. They're just his ideas. Strike two. They're not to be taken seriously, let alone believed. Strike three. The game is over. No. Postmodernism is just beginning. The laws of God are absolute and carry an automatic penalty when violated. And our world's going to come to see that someday. And it's not, that's not too far away. That kind of judgment is not too far away. God said the laws of God are perfect. So God said, don't add to it, don't take from it. The laws are, the commandments are true, the statutes are true. It was true from the very beginning. It is perfect. In our society today, law is a function of power rather than the function of behavior and self-governing. Isn't that true? That's why we have more crime. When we have more crime, they say we need more police. What they need is someone in the schools teaching what's right and what's wrong. We don't need more police in the halls of schools and hidden cameras and more guns. That's why when truth dies, or you could say, when the laws and knowledge of God dies completely, power fills the vacuum. And it pours in more policemen, more guns, more goofy laws, and really results in more crime. Living in our present lawless society, we can now see this is paving the way for the lawless one to come. Everyone will just flock after him because they don't know the truth. They don't love the truth. They don't love God. And they don't believe that he exists. That's how they've been conditioned. So they won't keep his commandments. And Satan, brethren, is keeping the world ever stronger in his grip of deception with evil ideas like postmodernism and other forms of baffle-gab to confuse and to deceive. And it is up to us to hang on to the truth of God strongly in our minds and in our actions. Brethren, think about this. I'm very serious. We are the last ones here in the churches of God to understand the standards of God. Do you understand that? There's only a few of us left. How many thousand? I don't know. Just a few. God, Satan wants us gone. So he can destroy the plan of God. God's saying, no, we're going to hang on to the truth. God says, don't hang on to the truth. I've given you the truth. I've given you the foundation. I'm here. Reach out and take my hand. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I believe that. And he will use any form of deception to confuse and to distract the people of God. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's doing it right now. He'll dress up the old lies and put a new coat on it. Make it look good and sound so good and appealing. Postmodernism thinking and reasoning sounds good. Not to me, it doesn't. We must do our part and get ready to rule and teach. It's the truths of God that we will teach, not postmodernism nonsense where you decide for yourself. Mankind's been deciding for himself for years, for generations, and where has it got him? Wars, rumors of wars, and more problems. We must do our part and get ready to rule and to teach, holding on ever tighter to the truth once given to us by Christ through his late apostle, Mr. Armstrong. We need to understand what is happening to our society, brethren, and look to our Redeemer, look to our Savior with trust and hope and confidence. May God help all of us to reach our destiny.